their second printing. Don, how are you?
I'm good, Bill. Thank you.
Never a shortage of things to talk about this time of year with the legislature in session. This is a really interesting legislature because they're sending things to the governor, even though they know they're probably going to be get the old veto stamp. But we'll talk about the vetoes in a few minutes. But what about this new one, this proposal to recognize basically man and woman is the only genders and make it in concrete in Arizona law?
Well, speaking of vetoes,
this one has veto all over.
Sort of. This is Senate Bill 1628. Under the terms of this bill, Arizona law would be changed so that there was only reference to sex, not gender. The thinking of the proponents is that gender suggests self-identification.
Yes.
Whereas sex is biological sex. You're either born male or female. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's a binary situation. Senate Bill 1628, however, was approved on a party line vote, 31-28. So what that would suggest to me is that the governor is not going to support the bill if it ends up on her desk for signature. And as we'll talk about in a little while, she recently vetoed 15 bills that had been sent to her by the legislature. And we're in a state where the legislature is controlled by one party, the executive branch is controlled by another party. Both are necessary to enact new laws, and we're seeing this year where, as you mentioned, a lot of bills are being sent to the governor, but not a lot of bills are being signed.
No.
A lot of bills are being vetoed, and
no.
I think 1628 is going to have that same fate. In addition to which, there's another problem that the proponents of this legislation have, and that is a federal judge blocked Arizona from enforcing a 2022 law that bars students whose, quote, biological sex at birth was male from participating in girls' sports. So finding that that was violative of Title IX, which is the federal statute that bars discrimination based on sex in educational opportunities. So even if through some mysterious process 1628 were signed into law, I think the proponents would still have the hurdle of showing that the law doesn't violate Title IX, given the ruling that had been made on an earlier law that barred students whose biological sex at birth was male from participating in girls' sports.
From that to tamales. The sale of homemade tamales and certain other items that have been classified as cottage food products will become legal again in Arizona, won't they?
They will. And, you know, interestingly, if you're comparing these two bills, 1628 was passed along party lines, but the tamale bill was bipartisan. Both Democrats and Republicans voted for it.
They all got on board.
Yeah. Speaking of tamales at lunchtime is really unfair, but we're going to do it anyway. So the tamale law was actually sent, a very similar version was sent to the governor last year, and it was a bipartisan effort as well. The governor vetoed it, pretty much making a lot of legislators mad because they thought that the tamale law was good for the public and would also help a lot of small business people be able to sell things from their kitchens that currently they're not able to sell. So by way of background, it's been permissible to sell, well, basically baked and confectionery foods.
Cookies.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If you go to a farmer's
bread,
market,
yeah.
Yep, you'll see breads,
yes.
Sweets, fruits, jams, jellies. But you won't see tamales,
no.
Or any other food that requires temperature control.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason you won't is because currently it's illegal to sell those foods that are made in a home kitchen. This is going to change, but it's not going to change until the summertime. And what I mean by that is, even though the governor signed the bill into legislation, it won't take effect until 90 days after the legislature session ends. Mm-hmm. And that's always undetermined at this time of year. Mm-hmm. Usually it ends sometime in late May or early June. Add 90 days to that, and then the bill becomes effective. So what does the bill provide? So it says that food made in a home kitchen, like tamales, can be sold without the requisite health inspections, right?
Yeah.
It had been opposed to, this bill had been opposed to passage by the Arizona Restaurant Association in its previous form because home kitchen wasn't well defined.
Mm-hmm.
Under the current version, home kitchen is defined as a space limited to 1,000 square feet. So that cleared the hurdle from the Arizona Restaurant Association, who thought there might be some kind of a commercial loophole, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So home kitchen is defined, and the new bill also has sort of beefed up labeling requirements. So the labeling requirements include that the product contain the list of ingredients,
mm-hmm.
the name of the person preparing the food,
mm-hmm.
and a disclaimer that the item may have been prepared in a kitchen that could have had allergens, including mm-hmm. pet allergens.
Mm.
So with those...
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. With those changes, as I mentioned, the Arizona Restaurant Association no longer opposed the bill. It got sent back to the governor on a bipartisan basis, and without explanation, she signed it last week, and it will take effect 90 days after the current legislative session ends.
I wonder, though, about the health issues, about temperature, and I don't know.
We'll see, won't we?
Yeah. Vetoes 15 so far.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And as we've mentioned on this show before, it's a really interesting situation when the legislature is controlled by one political party and the governor's office is controlled by a different political party because, as you know, under our process, the legislature sends the bills to the governor and they do not become law unless the governor signs them. The legislature on its own does not have the ability to make laws. It can do one of several things. It can send bills to the governor for signature. Those then become laws. Or it can send proposals or initiatives, essentially putting them on the ballot for voters to vote on them. They then become laws. But the legislature itself can't create laws. So under this situation where the governor is a Democrat and the legislature is Republican controlled, you see a lot of vetoes. This year, we've had 18 so far.
Mm-hmm.
Last legislative session, which ended in 2023, there were 143 vetoes.
Oh, my
143
goodness.
Vetoes. Wow. So these are bills that were sent to the governor for signature. She refused to sign the bill, and in fact, she vetoed the bill. So what happens with the veto is the governor typically issues a little memorandum on why she vetoed the bill. The first one that I want to talk about is a bill that she vetoed that was sponsored by John Kavanaugh, who's a Republican from Fountain Hills. So this bill, which was Senate Bill 1073 and was vetoed, would have made it a felony for protesters to block a highway, bridge, or tunnel.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. With a presumptive sentence of a year in state prison.
Mm-hmm.
There's already a bill or a law on the books that makes it a crime to do that. It's a misdemeanor, punishable by county jail time, if you block traffic in a way that creates an inconvenience or hazard. And so the governor said, "No, we already have a law on the books. This bill is unnecessary." Veto.
Hmm.
The next one was actually sponsored by the House Majority Leader, Senate Bill I'm sorry, House Bill 2502, which would have essentially changed the eligibility requirements for the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, known as SNAP. Mm-hmm. Under the bill, which again was vetoed, any able-bodied recipient younger than 60 and not employed would be required to participate in a work training program, which would be available through the Department of Economic Security. Currently, there are about 94 individuals who participate under this legislation, which was not signed into law. That number would have increased to about 130,000. So these are examples of bills that were sent to the governor's office right. by the Republican-controlled legislature and vetoed.
All right, Don Luce, thank you very much. Luce Law, we appreciate coming in. Thanks, Don.
Thank you, Bill.
All right, on behalf of Don Luce and Tom Fairbanks, engineering and producing our program, Bill Buckmaster, wishing everybody well.